want to keep you here till when Brother Frank gets here tonight. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, we'll be in Deuteronomy 2. Now, the beginning of this will sound very similar to 2 weeks ago as we kind of pick up where we left off, but I will go, since it's been a couple weeks, because I wanted to deviate from Mother's Day. Lord laid that thought on my heart. But we will recap where we were at, Deuteronomy 2 and 3, and we're going to try to kick it in high gear and move on. But then this thought has just encouraged me all day, all morning long. A God who delights in mercy. And we, every person in this room, better praise God for that. Mercy means we didn't get what we deserve. And I praise the Lord that our God delights in mercy. His mercies renew every morning. Our God is a merciful God. Now, there is one day where He will unleash His wrath. But right now, He is a merciful, merciful God. And we see that. And that's the whole goal of chapter 2 and chapter 3, is to see God's mercy on His wicked people. And guess what? We're just like them. We are. We have the same natural inclinations that they did. But God was merciful to them. Now I want us to look, as we see His mercy on them, to be reminded of His mercy on us. And we're going to see at the end of the message today what us seeing His mercy on them and on us should motivate us to do. Because the whole book, the whole goal of the book of Deuteronomy is to not forget God. Basically, don't do what your mom and dad did. That's what they did, and that's why they died in the wilderness. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 6:12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Remember the Lord. Believe the Lord. Trust the Lord. And so that's why Moses here wanted to begin with reminding them, as we see, of their misconduct, of God's mercy, and God's message. But remember the outline of the book very quickly, chapters 1 through 4, remembering the past. Number 2, rules for the present, chapter 5 through 26. And then number 3, readying for the planned, chapters 27 through 34. That is the outline of the book. But as we began, and you don't have to go back. But this message was sparked, like I said last time, by the thought Micah 7 verse 18. And think about this: who is like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and that passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He and praise the Lord for this. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. That's the God we serve, and that's the God we see here in Deuteronomy, especially chapters 2 and chapter 3. So, number 1, as we get into the thought this morning, I remember last time we began with the crime of the sinners. We won't read it again, but we saw in chapter 1, verses 19 through 46, Israel's disobedience to God. God said, the promised land is yours. Go take it. But instead of saying, okay, let's go, they said, well, let's send spies and see what the land's all about. Let's be good stewards. Let's go into the land and make sure we're going to do it the right way. No, basically what we need to see it for ourselves before we do it. That's what they did. And remember, there were 12 of them went in. 2 gave a good report. 10 gave a bad report. So then the people of Israel, they believed the 2, or believed the 10 over the 2. They said, no, we're not going to go. God said, okay, turn around and go back into the wilderness. They said, no, okay, we'll go now. And then they tried to go. They tried to go, and they were soundly defeated. Because where God tells us to go is where we need to be. They had been disobedient. God had said, "You're not going to the promised land. Go into the wilderness." The best place for them to be was the wilderness. And as we know, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and God took care of them, because that's where God was. But we see they were disobedient because of that. They were 11 miles from the promised land that whole time, but yet they wandered in circles for 40 years until they all died off, except Joshua and Caleb and Moses. So we see here that was the crime of the sinners. They were very disobedient. They basically spit in the face of the promise of God and said, Lord, we don't believe you. Now we see chapter 2, verse number 1, we see the circling of the Mount Seir. This is after chapter 1 and all what happened there. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we can pass Mount Seir many days. Like I said last time, that's the flow of your life. If you've got sin in your life that you're not willing to deal with, you're just going to be walking around Mount Seir, just killing time, making no progress, not doing anything for God. But then, praise the Lord, He steps in here. We see the circling of Mount Seir, but then we see number 3, the command from the sovereign, verses 2 and 3, and the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Hey, that's how you get out of that rut. Turn. Repent. Deal with it. That's why we should deal with it as soon as it happens. And we're going to sin. We're going to. That's not a freedom to say, well, you're going to sin, might as well do it anyways. No. We're going to sin. Bible says if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But when we do sin, we should deal with it immediately. Israel didn't. They just, many days, God said, turn, deal with it. Turn, it goes on to say, you have compassed this mount long enough, turn you northward. So we see the command from the sovereign, turn. That's what the Lord commands us all to do. And the Bible tells us, if we confess our sins, agree with God about our sins, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says in Proverbs, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them, what? Shall have mercy. We have a God that delights in mercy. But before that mercy can be demonstrated like He wants it, confess and forsake, then you access the mercy. Got to be willing to deal with it. So we see the command from the sovereign. Now we see, and this was the focus of the whole message, the clemency, the mercy of the sovereign that we see throughout chapters 2 and 3. So we saw first His mercy in His proclamation. Praise the Lord, God spoke to him again. And we just read that in verses 2 and 3. God didn't have to. God could have said, okay, I'm done with you. Wander around the wilderness and die. That's what we deserve. Once again, we're a lot like them. We deserve the Lord to turn His back on us, to never speak to us again, and let us go to hell, because that's what we rightly deserve. But God spoke to them again. And I praise the Lord, just like in the book of Jonah. I love Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I praise the Lord for that truth. And if we're all honest with ourselves, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, I about pulled a ruby and skipped 11. It's funny how kids skip numbers, by the way, isn't it? But we see His mercy in His proclamation. He spoke to them again. We see His mercy in His faithfulness to His promises. We read last time in chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, verses 8 through 12 and 16 through 23, that He gave land to people that it was promised to, people that had disobeyed, people that had sinned. Their sin did not negate the promise of God, because when God makes a promise, He keeps it. We see His mercy and His faithfulness to His promise. Did they deserve for Him to be faithful to His promise? No. They deserved for God to break that promise and say, you're not going to get the land that was promised to you because of what you did. But God didn't give them what they deserved. He gave them the land He promised them. So we see His mercy in His proclamation. We see His mercy in His faithfulness to His promises. We see His mercy in His provisions. First, the provision of victuals. Chapter 2, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. Thy hand, He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. These are the same people who said, we don't believe you. We're not going to do, we don't believe. I mean, they didn't say it, but by their actions, they said, we don't believe you're going to be faithful to do what you said you would do. Two of them did, nobody else did. They did not deserve for God to provide for them. 40 years, their clothes didn't wear, their shoes didn't wear. God met their physical needs every single day. when they and we deserve the exact opposite? How many of us, in times when we were not living as we should, or we had done things that we should not have done, can testify to the fact that God was merciful in that? That God, even in the midst of our disobedience and our sin, He still took care of us. God was merciful to them. He's been merciful to us. They had spit in His face, but He still took care of them. So we see His mercy in His provision of victuals, but also His mercy in His provision of victories. We see in verse 24, it says, "Rise you up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon king of Heshbon with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. As the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan in the land which the Lord our God giveth. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, wilt not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit, and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us. And we smote him, and his sons, and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones, and every city was left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took, from Aroer, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon they camest not, thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto the whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us." And that continues on to verse number 20, but for sake of time, I won't read all of that. But God was merciful. He fought for them still. He fought for them. Did they deserve for Him to fight for them and to protect them? No. They deserved the exact opposite, but God fought for them. That's what it said. That's the only way Israel ever got a victory. You want to see what happens when Israel fights for themselves? Look at the Battle of Ai, Joshua chapter 7. Fighting a little enemy and get soundly defeated. We have no power in ourselves, and neither did they. But God in His mercy, even though they had sinned, fought for them and gave them victories and still did great things for them. Hey, God wants to fight for you and help you deal with your sin. Turn, repent, and He can still do great things in your life. Don't think, well, I've done that, He's done with me. Are you still drawing breath? He's not done with you. Turn. He'll fight for you. He was merciful to them. His mercy and His provisions of victuals, of victories. Here's another one. His mercy in letting Moses peer into the promised land. Now, Moses had faithfully led the people of Israel for a long time. And these people were not easy people. They were not. About every corner, they was complaining about something. A lot of times it was Moses. Complaining about God. Wishing they had gone, that they could go back to Egypt. At least they were eating good there, they said. In my flesh, would probably act a lot differently than Moses did. But Moses, by the grace of God, responded in the meekest way you'll ever see. The Bible describes Moses as one of the meekest men to ever live, or as the meekest man to ever live. But one time Moses finally had enough. And he smote the rock instead of speaking to it as God told him to. And what he did was he basically glorified himself when he could have glorified God through that. and he disobeyed God. He did the opposite of what God told him to do. And you may say, well, it was those low-down, dirty, rotten Israelites, they pushed him to his breaking point, and that's what caused him to sin. And he even references that. But because of that one sin, Moses didn't get to go into the Promised Land. You say, well, that's pretty stout, pretty stiff. I mean, wouldn't his good outweigh his bad? Now, early on in the Bible, God was showing us how much he hates sin and disobedience, even in the God list of people. That's how God feels about sin. And because of that, Moses didn't get to go into the Promised Land, but God was merciful to Moses. Moses deserved to die on the spot. You say, well, all he did was smite it instead of speak to it. He disobeyed God. And God hates disobedience, even the smallest disobediences. People say, well, it's just one white lie that I told. God absolutely abhors that. Every sin. See, in the Old Testament, we catch a glimpse of how much God hates sin. That should open our eyes. And Moses deserved, as we do every time we sin, small or big, he deserved to die on the spot. But God didn't kill him. God let him see the Promised Land. He wouldn't let him go in, but he let him see it. And we see that in verses 23 through 27 of chapter 3. It says there, "And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon." As it continues on there, verse 26, "But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan." So the Lord would not let him go in, but God in his mercy let him see it. And we need to see that as an act of mercy. See, the world today, and even maybe Christians today, we've got a high view of ourselves. Like we deserve something. Like, Lord, I'm coming to church. Bless me if you can. Lord, what are you going to do for me today? Now, we need to look at sin as God sees it. Moses had committed a great sin, basically glorified himself instead of glorifying God. And because of that, he deserved to die on the spot, but God let him see the Promised Land. God was merciful. God was merciful. We see his mercy in letting Moses peer into the Promised Land. We also see his mercy in letting Moses prepare Joshua to lead. God, Moses deserved to die on the spot and then just the Lord to pick a leader and lead him. But God gave Moses the opportunity to prepare Joshua to lead. And I'm certain Moses saw that as a great act of mercy. Because Moses, and you may think, well, he hates the people of Israel now because they're basically the reason that he committed that sin. Now he can't go in the Promised Land. No, he loved them. And he basically said earlier on in Scripture, if I can't go in, who are you going to send? Who can I prepare? And it was Joshua, and we see that verse 28, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people. He shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." So we see his mercy in letting him prepare Joshua to lead Israel. And this is one that's kind of paradoxical, as we see many times in Scripture. We see next his mercy in his punishment. His mercy in his punishment. You say, how can you see mercy in punishment? When we understand what punishment we deserve, then we can see the mercy in the punishment. So we see, and we're going to go back to chapter 2 for this one. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. We see God's mercy in his punishment on the people of Israel. See, chapter 2, verse 13, "Now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zered." And we went over the brook Zered. And the space in which we came from Kadesh until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generations of the men of war were wasted out from among the host. Turn to them, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying..." See, God, they deserve for God to kill them on the spot. Once again, we need to learn. See, when we learn what we actually deserve, if you truly read the Bible as it is written, and you learn what you truly deserve, you see mercy on every page and every day of your life. They deserve to die on the spot. But instead, they lived 38 more years. God provided for them every day. Their clothes didn't wear. Their shoes didn't tear. The Lord took care of them. Now, they died in the wilderness, but they deserved to die on the spot. God was merciful to them. We have a God that delights in mercy. And we see that to the people of Israel. And when we get a proper perspective of ourselves and what we actually deserve, we'll see it more in our lives. And that should motivate us. That should motivate us. Number five, and the last thing I want to point out, and we'll be done this morning, the confidence this should give the saints. We see in chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. The Bible says, "And I command Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou possessest, or thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you." He's basically saying, Joshua, you saw what God did. And this should give you the courage to move forward now. So what should what we just read, looking at God's mercy on them, being reminded of God's mercy on us, what should it give us the confidence to do? Number one, it should first drive us to repentance. When you look at God's mercy, and then you see God's mercy on them, and then you're reminded of it on you, I believe it should amplify and show you things that need to be dealt with now. Because it makes you want to get closer to Him. But before you can get closer to God, you've got to deal with sin in your life. Should drive us to repentance, but it should then also drive us to reliance. God was faithful to a wicked people. These people who had disobeyed Him, He was taking care of. Balaam tried to curse them. God wouldn't let him. Said it's God's people. But Moses is reminding them of this. So he's saying, hey, God took care of your parents even when they had disobeyed. He was merciful to them. You can trust Him. He's going to take care of you. Believe Him. Don't be like them and forget God. Trust God because He's faithful. He is merciful. That should drive us to rely upon Him. Every page of the Bible should drive us to trust, to rely upon God, believe God. And why should that drive us to reliance? Because He is reliable. God will be reliable. Always. Moses wants to remind these people of that. God was faithful when they weren't. And He will forever be faithful when we are not. You can trust Him. Can't trust us, but you can trust Him. Always. You can always trust God. I believe I've got some scripture on there. I forgot to write in my notes. Go with me to Psalm 136. I want to hammer this home, and this psalm does it better than any other one in the Bible. I think you'll get what I'm trying to drive home once we get there. Psalm 136. We're going to read the whole chapter. And we've got a God that delights in mercy. Let's let this scripture remind us of that. Psalm 136. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, For his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And he slew famous kings. On king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembereth us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. What's the thought? For his, say it with me, for his mercy endureth forever. I thank God that we have a Lord that delights in mercy. We saw it in Israel. Let that remind us of his mercy on us. Remember, he wants to remind them of that. Remember where they're standing. They're on the brink of the promised land. God doesn't want them, when they get there, to forget him. A way to do that is to show his faithfulness and his mercy in the midst of their wickedness. So that when they get into the promised land, they can trust him. And the thing is, when they got in the promised land, they weren't going to be perfect. They weren't. But when we do sin, even when we're in our spiritual promised land, his mercy endures forever. Repent, confess, forsake, he will have mercy. I praise the Lord that we have a God that delights in mercy. And may God help us to be like him and to show mercy more often. Because we like having a God that delights in mercy, but we don't like being merciful. God showed great mercy on us. Let's ask him to help us to show mercy others. That means us not giving them what they deserve. You say, well, I can't do that. You don't know what they did to me. Well, guess what we did to Jesus? What did we get in return? We put him on the cross. We get heaven. They may have done something to you. Ask God to give you the grace to show mercy. And there's no greater time that you're more like Jesus when you do that than when you do that. You show mercy. They say, what in the world? Because most people know what they've done. You say, well, hey, the Lord was merciful to me, and I want to be merciful to you. What a witness is that? What a witness is that? I'll catch them way off guard. They'll go from down. Let's be merciful, because God has shown great mercy to us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as Miss Anna comes to the piano,